Is His love marvelous and wonderful? I hope that you have experienced that this morning. And I hope if you haven't, as Billy prayed earlier, that you will experience it before you leave this place. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. I want to kind of set this verse up a little bit. Paul is writing from prison, and he is writing to Timothy, his kind of his protege, that he has been his mentor, and Timothy is a young man, and Paul is coming towards the end of his ministry. In fact, towards the end of 2 Timothy, he begins to kind of put his final words to paper as he's coming to the end of his life. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Now, he was not his biological son, but he considered him a son. He was so close to him. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Do you hear the intimacy in these two relationships, how they care for one another? I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, for the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. I want to end right there. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Church, if that is your prayer with me this morning, say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to say a word right there. How many of you went on the women's retreat last week? Some hands going up. I know Cheryl was telling me that and I hear y'all had an awesome time, was telling me that one of the speakers, the musician, I believe, with Mercy Me, said that if your preacher says that, I don't know if any of you remember that, it stuck with Cheryl. If your preacher says, invites the Holy Spirit, tell him that he doesn't need to do that because you brought him with you. And I just want to say to that, first of all, I love Mercy Me, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. You see, because God is a God of relationship. And God wants us to invite Him, even though, yes, if we are in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. But we're going to talk kind of more about that today. But I want you to understand that when I invite the Holy Spirit, I'm not making the assumption that none of us have the Holy Spirit. I'm inviting the Holy Spirit to be here and participate with us in what's happening. And so that's a second mini sermon. You don't have to pay any. We're not going to pass a plate again or anything. So I will continue to invite the Holy Spirit. So I just wanted y'all that had been on the women's retreat to not think I was messing up. I'm doing that very specifically. Revival. Last week we had our revival, and it started on Sunday morning. Yeah, yeah. And we had Scott Beard that spoke to us last Sunday morning. Scott's a good guy, isn't he? And brought the Word of God. And then we had Chuck Farina that brought the Word Monday night. Chuck is also a tremendous man of the Lord. And then we had Jay Miller on Tuesday night. And all three of those men, I believe, brought God's Word. I want to, our intention with the revival was never for it to be a 3-day event. you know, did you know that we all need revived all of the time? Did you know that's not something that's like once we accept Christ, we're done? That's not the finish line. That's the starting gate. Did you know that? And so one of the things that Chuck, we gave each one of the speakers kind of what we, a little brief little synopsis, a little one sentence, a little phrase. And it's like, here's kind of what we think maybe you might want to speak on this. And I think each one of them stuck with that somewhat. But Chuck, on Monday night, Monday afternoon, he texted me and he said, brother, I feel kind of like going in a different direction. Is that okay? And I said, Chuck, I trust you and the Holy Spirit. You just go, man. Just go. And he spoke of, he used 1 Kings 18, which is basically the people of Israel had many of them had strayed and was beginning to worship Baal. And Elijah, the prophet, basically called them out. And he said, I tell you what, you know, and I'm kind of summarizing Chuck's word, but in the word in 1 Kings 18. But he said, we're going to build this altar table and we're going to put all this wood on here. And he said, you call out to Baal and all of your gods and you guys start the fire and start the fire of the altar. And if that doesn't work out, then I'll call on the Lord Jehovah and he'll take care of it. And summarizing that passage, basically the priests of Baal tried and tried and tried and tried all the way through the day and all the way up into the evening. And just as the great theologian Larry, the cable guy, couldn't get her done. And Elijah began to mock them. And long story short, God rained down fire and just toasted that altar. I mean, just toasted it. And Elijah even felt compelled to get them to bring these big buckets of water and pour all, wet the wood down. It's like, we're not just going to go with just, you know, a fire here. I want you to show how big God really is. They wet the wood down, and it was so much water that it ran off into the trench around the altar, and everything was consumed. And so Chuck was talking about how we needed the fire of God. That's what revival is, the fire of God coming inside of us. And I didn't bring the actual devotion, but a week before the revival, I read my daily devotional, and it came out of 2 Chronicles 7, and it talked about Solomon that had built the temple, and this extravagant temple for the Lord, and how even with this beautiful, magical temple, Solomon said, unless the Lord shows up and inhabits this place and inhabits us, this is all for show. It's all for show. And so they called on the Lord, and he came down in fire and consumed the they had sacrificed many, many animals, consumed all of this. And that was the week before the revival. And I told Billy that I came that day, and I said, Billy, this is, I believe, the Lord's heart for our revival. And again, not just for those 3 days, but that the Lord would light a fire in us, that we would not be just this pretty temple that's walking around, you know, that impresses people, but that God would show up and that God would so inflame us that we couldn't miss it, that the world couldn't miss it. Well, today's sermon, Fan into Flame. Fan into Flame. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Many of you have seen the movie Castaway. I want you to see this short little scene from Castaway. The character in Castaway has been he's been shipwrecked on this island, and he has seen all of the things he took for granted, including fire. How desperate he is for that. So go ahead and show that scene if you would.
you wouldn't match by any chance, would you? Oh, oh. Pierre got to it. Pierre got to it!
Going to run out and rent that movie this afternoon, I can tell. You know, there wasn't anything theological about that movie, but I couldn't help but think when he ended up calling the ball Wilson, as you know if you've seen the movie, and you know, when Wilson showed up, that's when the fire started. And I kind of, in my mind, I'm thinking that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in us and becomes part of what we are doing, suddenly the fire begins to happen. Reminded that these passages that I just spoke of earlier, where Elijah and Solomon called down for God to show up, and He showed up. He rained down from heaven in the form of fire. And what happened at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2? The apostles are gathered and they're praying for this Holy Spirit that Christ had promised. And it says that He came in the form of, it looked like tongues of fire, came and began to inhabit the disciples, and they began to do miraculous things. And 3,000 people came to the Lord when in just that very day. When the Holy Spirit is in control, things begin to happen. The first thing that we must learn about fanning into flame is that we must hunger for the fire of God. We must hunger for the fire of God. In this movie, Tom Hanks' character had taken fire and all the other amenities of home, had taken all of those things for granted. But it wasn't until he hungered, he was so desperate for fire, That it really began to have significance in his life, and it really had meaning and had depth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Hunger and thirst for righteousness. It seems to be, and even this passage with Paul saying to Timothy, "Fan into flame." We can get into all the theological dilemmas of, you know, once the Holy Spirit comes in us, or do we just kind of sit and let Him work on us? Do we just sit by and let Him do all the work? He's the active agent. Yes, I believe that He is, but I also believe that Scripture seems to be telling us that we participate in that. That Paul is telling Timothy, he didn't say, "Timothy, don't sweat it because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I saw it in your grandmother and I saw it in your mother, and now I'm convinced it's in you. So just sit back and God's going to mold you into the great man that He's called you to be." No, he said, "Fan into flame. Participate in this molding, be hungry for the fire of God." Hungry for the fire of God. Second thing is, we must stir up the fire of God within us. Again, that we participate in that. How many of you have seen you know, you've had campfires. You perhaps hunters or I used to backpack quite a bit, and we would have a lot of campfire. And we used to camp when our girls were little. We would go camping, and you know, you get the fire going and it's blazing. And I can remember many times you go to bed and the fire's just, you know, you kind of get it where it's safe and it's not too big and you can go ahead and feel safe and go to bed. And the next morning you get up and many times you can come in there and if you want to put on a cup of coffee or something, you don't have to start over. Many times you can just turn the coals over with a shovel and just turn it over, and there's hot coals underneath, and you can stir up the fire and then put some fresh wood on it, and suddenly the fire is flaming again. That seems to be what Paul is admonishing Timothy to fan into flame this fire that is already within you. I want to talk for just a second about maybe how we do that. You know, too many times I think we look at the disciplines of our faith and we look at them and we think of them from the standpoint of if I want to be a good Christian, I need to read my Bible. If I want to be a good Christian, I need to pray. If I want to be a good Christian, I should probably go to church at least a couple of times a year. If I want to be a good Christian, I should probably, you know, have fellowship with other Christians, you know, occasionally. We seem to look at those disciplines as about us being good, but I want to tell you it's more about stirring up the fire within us and keeping that fire burning. And, you know, many people I've heard will say, well, you can be a Christian and not go to church. I believe you can be a Christian and not go to church. And here I'm just going to get kind of bold. But I don't think you can be an on-fire Christian. I don't think you can be a passionate Christian without being in the Word, without praying, without fellowshipping with other believers, about serving God. All of these disciplines that we have in the faith are not about being good. They're about stirring up the fire within us and having purpose. And that's why I want to move on to point three. We must use the fire of God for His purposes, for His purposes. You know, Solomon, as I said, had built this beautiful temple. And people that walked by the temple or went into the temple were going to be thoroughly impressed with just the architecture of what they had constructed. But Solomon knew unless the Lord built the house, unless the Lord inhabited the temple, it was just a showpiece for man. There wasn't anything going to happen there of any eternal consequence unless God showed up. We must use the fire of God for His purposes, not to impress our family and friends. Kind of confession time here. I use this analogy that it's God is like this master craftsman, and when we put ourselves on His bench, His workbench, God wants to do just crazy good things in us. He wants to mold us into His likeness. The problem is that these works, us, the people that He's working on, we have legs. And we can walk off the table anytime we want to. God doesn't strap us to His table so that He can work on us. God allows us to put ourselves on His table so that the master craftsman can have his work in our lives, or we can walk away. And too many times we walk away. I am building for about a year now. It's been my intention to build some porch swings. I've got two porch swings that are all cut out, and I've started sanding on them and getting them ready. And I have good intentions. Cheryl, I promise I do. You're going to have a porch swing someday. And I've got them all, and I've got the plans, and I've cut them out, and I've done some sanding, and they're all stacked in the appropriate piles, and ready to continue and to assemble into what I hope will someday be a beautiful porch swing. But they've been sitting in my shop for right coming up on a year now. Last winter, I don't know if you remember, but when I started cutting out and working on it, it got really cold, and so that was it's too cold. And then, before I knew it, guess what? It was too hot to go out there and work on those things. And I have good intentions of this, but you know what? Those will never be the porch swings that I have envisioned in my mind unless I go out there and place that piece of wood on the bench and begin to work. And that's the way it is with God. God is the master craftsman, and he has this vision for what we can become, what he is calling us to be. But the deal is we have to place ourselves up on his bench. He wants us to press into him and be about his business. We have some things, and I've already kind of alluded to some of this. We have things that are obstacles to what God would do in us. This fanning this flame, this active participation that he would have us to do when it comes to growing into his likeness. And the first obstacle is sin. I believe with all my heart that sin can hinder us. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? That when we have sin in our life, I'll just get specific with some stuff. But let's say that God is calling you, men. I'll challenge the men this morning. Men, let's say God is calling you to be the godly father and the godly husband and a godly example at work and so on and so forth. And yet, we are addicted to pornography. How's that working out for us? How's that work out for us? It's like, oh, I want to be the godly husband God's calling me to be, but, you know, the old Yellow Pages ad, let the fingers do the walking. We do that on our keyboard. And I know it's a stronghold in men's lives. I see it over and over and over. Well, I just want to tell you, men, stop trying to be God's man. Because as long as that sin is in your life, you won't be. You won't be. Now, let's see. I don't want to let the ladies off the hook this morning. Let's see if I can hit some women where it hurts. It's easier to hit the women than men because I'm one of the men. Let's say women that maybe perhaps when you have lunch with a friend, your conversation is not always godly. Conversation. Perhaps you speak of things you shouldn't speak. You talk about people maybe in a way that you shouldn't talk, and that's sin in our lives. It's sin in our lives, and God wants to root out that sin in us so that He can fan into flame the Holy Spirit that is in us. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us, "Let us throw off the sin that so easily entangles us." That's where it starts. Repent. And throw off the sin. You want to be the person God's called you to be? Repent of the sin that's in your life. Second thing, busyness. Second obstacle is busyness. And I know I'm meddling this morning. I'm just it's the way it is this morning. You're just going to have to deal with it, I guess, or get mad at me or something. But busyness. Church, we as a people, and I'm talking about all people, we are too stinking busy. God gets our leftovers. Did you know that? God is supposed to be number one in our lives, and He's down the list somewhere in our lives. And again, here I'm going to meddle, but He's down there somewhere beneath softball. Uh-oh. And cheerleading and band and anything else. This was said at our revival as well. Anything that we place higher than God is an idol. And it doesn't even have to be a bad thing. It can even be our relationship with our spouse, which is a good thing and should be placed high, but not above that relationship with God. Anything we place above God is an idol. I struggle with that. I'll just confess, I struggle with that. I know I'm a diehard, and I like to keep up and watch the Cowboys. I don't know. I just grew up that way. I know I'm a dork, but anyway, I like to watch Cowboys. And if I'm not careful, my love for the Cowboys can rise above my love for God Himself with the time that I spend on it. Anything that comes above God, anything in our busyness that comes before God is an idol, and we should cast it off. It's an obstacle to the fire of God in our lives. And the third obstacle is complacency, just not caring. And I think if you go back to that movie, Tom Hanks' character, he didn't give fire a second thought when it was readily available to him. All he had to do was flip the little switch on the lighter, and he had it at his fingertips. But when suddenly the fire was missing, he understood how desperate he was for fire, how it was at the very heart of his existence. And quite frankly, many times, and we do this even as Christians, we just don't really care. There's a lot of other things I can do. I see it all the time where in regards to coming to church. And this is not a guilt Sunday. I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest with you this morning. People, we work and we play so hard during the week, and when Sunday gets here, many people, that's their day of recovery. It's their day of rest and relaxation. It's not a day to honor the Lord. It's not a day to grow closer to the Lord. It's a day to just recover so that I can do another week. And so we find ourselves, even if we come to church, we find ourselves not engaged, slipping in, slipping out. Don't want to make any eye contact. Somebody might actually want something or ask me something or talk to me or something. We slip in, we slip out. Or better or worse yet, we sleep in. And I get tired. I get tired. And I have to build in some rest in my life. But when we do it at the expense of our relationship with God and nurturing the fire of God in our lives, it is damaging. It is damaging. Paul is telling Timothy, fan into flame. I know the Holy Spirit is inside of you. I've seen it in your grandmother, I've seen it in your mother, and now I see it in you. I know it's there, but fan it into flame. Don't let the embers go out. Fan it into flame. Be the man God has called you to be. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. And I believe that's what God is calling and telling of us. Be the man and the woman God has called us to be. I want to invite the praise team to come forward. As you bow your head, kind of a different thing this morning. And I know some of you are not able to stand, and that's okay. You can stand in your heart. You can raise a hand if you'd like. But if you want to fan into flame the gift that is within you, the Holy Spirit that is within you, if that's you this morning, if you want to fan that into flame and be the person God has called you to be, I just ask you to stand in that recognition of that this morning. As we close and sing this last song, the altar is open. I will be up front. If you would like to ask Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you would like for me to pray with you, I will be up front. Come.
There must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more. Now now set the captives free. Leave us abandoned to your praise. Lord, let your glory fall. Lord, let your glory fall. Consuming fire.
God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Go and fan the flame of the gift inside of you. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed.
Consuming fire, fan into